Gospel according to Matthew, chapter 9, beginning with verse 35. Please stand if you're able for the reading of the gospel. This is the word of the Lord. Jesus went through all the towns and villages, teaching in their synagogues, proclaiming the good news of the kingdom and healing every disease and sickness. When he saw the crowds, he had compassion on them because they were harassed and helpless like sheep without a shepherd. Then he said to his disciples, "The harvest is plentiful, but the workers are few. Ask the Lord of the harvest, therefore, to send out workers into his harvest field." Thank you, Lord, for the reading of your holy word. This is the word of God for the children of God. Thanks be to God. Please be seated. Ring, ring. Ring, ring. Hello. What do you want? Who's there? Somebody said in the first service, and they sit right here, and I won't name any names, but they said, "I check caller ID first." Ring, ring. Hello. Matthew chapter 9, which we just read, verses 35, 38. In verse 36, when Jesus saw the crowds, he had compassion on them. He was out preaching the good news. And they gathered around him, and he had compassion on them because they were harassed and helpless like sheep without a shepherd. How many of you watch the news? Anybody here watch the news on TV? How many of you read the paper? How many of you are people watchers? I like watching people. My favorite place to watch people is Walmart. Yeah, you know, I go to Walmart a lot, always have, you know. Bonnie still has shopping to do. I'll sit up front and watch people go by. It's weird people go to Walmart, you know. You probably look at me and think the same thing. But you can see the brokenness. If your people watch, you can see the brokenness. You can read into their stories. You see in the news all of the violence that's going on all around the world. We read in the paper about all of the drug addiction and crime going on around the world. Home invasions, bullying, identity theft, corruption and scandals. There's just so much violence and evil in the world. What has changed since Jesus' day, since this was written over 2,000 years ago? What has changed with the condition of humankind? Nothing. Nothing. You know, you would think that by now we'd learn. You'd think by now we'd get a little bit better at it. And yet, it seems like the condition of humankind has just gotten worse. I travel in some might say theological circles. You know, I talk to those, a lot of religious types, pastor people. Had a fellow here from Elizabeth and Green Oak United Methodist Churches that I grew up with, Pastor Ed Pope. He came this morning. And believe it or not, some of the theological types that I talk to, and they're not all United Methodists, they're different denominations. Some people say that the Bible is not relevant today. It's out of touch. Things have changed. And I think you're crazy, you know that? Because the things it talks about in the Bible, they're the same today that they were back then. And even though we have modern inventions and we've learned a lot through medicine and science and that, the answer back then is still the same answer today. It's Jesus. That hasn't changed. And yet today people are looking all over the place for answers. Self-help books, motivational speakers, all kinds of drugs pleasure-seeking people, people that are getting all wrapped up in all kinds of entertainment stuff to distract themselves and to alleviate their pain and suffering. They're looking in the wrong places. They were in Jesus' day and they are today. And the condition of humankind is the same today as it was back then. Don't tell me the Bible's not relevant, because it is. It is relevant. It's just amazing. Ring, ring. Some of you just refuse to answer the phone. I've noticed that. Ring, ring. That's better. Yeah, Bonnie doesn't answer the phone at home, just in case you're wondering. You'll have to leave a message. If that phone rings 100 times, 99 and a half times, it's some automated or salesman. You know, if somebody wants to get a hold of me or Bonnie, they call our cell phones. Just so you know. Ring, ring. There they go again. Some of them aren't picking the phone up. Ring, ring. Okay. Verse 37 and 38, Jesus said to his disciples, "The harvest is plentiful, but the workers are few. Ask the Lord of the harvest, therefore, to send out workers into his harvest field." The people in this harvest field are harassed, helpless, and lost, like sheep without a shepherd. They are lost. The people in the harvest field, which is all around us, are harassed, helpless, and lost. And they need us to be the workers in the harvest field. They need us to answer the call that God has put upon our lives to go out and share with them the gospel of Jesus Christ. In Romans chapter 5, which Nellie read, it says that God proves his love for us. And while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. That's how God proves his love for us. While we were yet sinners, even though we didn't deserve it, he died for us. That's the message that the world needs to hear, because they're looking in all the wrong places for answers. We need to go up to them and say, listen, you're harassed, you're helpless, you're lost. What you need is Jesus. Because he loves you. And he died for you just the way you are. We need to show the world that we care, that we love them. You and I have to be Christ to the world. We've got to send the right message from this body of believers, from this church building. We have to send the right message to the world around us. Not that we worship the temple. Not that we worship the created, but that we worship the Creator and that we love them and that Jesus loves them. That's what they need to hear from us. That's what they need to see in the way we treat them. We've got to do more. I know. You do so much already. Time is a factor. You've made a lot of sacrifices. But, ring, ring. When the phone rings, when God calls, what are you going to say? Hello? And he says, it's God. You're not going to say, I already do enough. I'm not doing any more. I can't. I'm too old. I'm too short. I'm too fat. I'm too poor. I'm too embarrassed. I'm too stupid. I can't do anything. Because God enables those who he calls. And all you have to do is read through the Bible to see the kind of the people he used. Oh, my. So we are without excuse. We have got to send the right signal to the world around us. Hey, there was a man who was driving down a country road one night, and it was a dark and stormy night. The wind was howling, lightning flashing, thunder rolling, and the rain was just pouring down in buckets. And he's driving down this dark country road, and he comes around the bend, and there standing along the road are these two men, and they're holding up this big sign, and it says, "The end is near." And he pulls over next to them and he winds his window down and he says, "You guys are a couple of religious fanatics out here on a wet night like this. What's the matter with you?" And he puts his window up and he takes off. And just a moment later, there's this loud screeching and crash. And the men look at each other and the one guy says, "I guess maybe we should change the wording on the sign. Maybe we should put up there 'Bridges out.'" Some people look at a church and they don't see Jesus at all. What they see is a fancy club with a fancy building, people having fun. They don't see sacrifice and sweat and tears and love. They don't feel loved by that church. We don't want that to be the situation here. We want to send the right signal. We not only want to hold up a sign that says Jesus loves you, but we want to be the ones to go out and love them. And there are all kinds of ways we can do that. I've mentioned some of these before, and I'm going to mention them again, and I'll keep mentioning them until somebody answers the phone. Ring, ring. Hello. I think this September we should have it all ready to go. We should have volunteers who are willing to pick people up for church. And then we can advertise it. You need a ride to church? Call this number. We'll come get you. I think that we should have a community dinner. One community dinner a month. Something simple. Advertise it. Invite people to come and eat for free. We'll take donations. But it's free. Bring your friends and your neighbors and we'll meet you downstairs. And it's not just for the poor, but it's to break bread together. I'm going to tell you that church in Acts, they broke bread together and they sold the stuff that they had possession of and they shared that money with each other. And it said that the Lord added to their number daily thousands, thousands. When people see love coming out of us, a love that we don't hold back, a love that is just, you know, it's more than they need. It's just tons of love. When we make those kind of sacrifices, we need to hold a drug seminar. And I've got people volunteering for some of this. I need helpers and people, other people who will get involved. We need to hold a drug seminar because we need to get officials from drug and alcohol to come to this church and law enforcement officials who can come and share with parents and friends of addicts what they need to be looking for and what they can do to try to help their friend or child with addiction. Because by doing that, we'll show the community that we care. We need to have a giveaway. We need to gather together some of our furniture and household items and tools and pictures and knickknacks and dishes and clothes and shoes and coats and purses. And I know some of you got lots of purses. We need to gather together some of that stuff and fill up the basement down there and advertise that one day on a Saturday from 9 to 12, we're giving it all away. And people come in and we just pray with them and give them a bag and let them take whatever they want. It shows that we care and that we lavish the love of God on them. We need to have a kids' safety fair. We need to have youth activities. We need to send the right signal to the world that we've been called by God to go into the harvest field and to help those people who are harried, helpless, and lost. We're not going to pass the buck, leave it up to somebody else. But God is calling us. And our answer should be, "Lord, what more can I do? What more can I do?" Because when you've done enough, it's not up to us to say, "I've done enough." It's up to God to say, no, "You've done enough." So let God say it. "You've done enough." So when you hear the call, ring, ring. If God's on the other end, just ask him, "What more can you do?" God loves you, and so do I.